The readings for this Feast of All Saints. The epistle is from the Apocalypse of St. John. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed. Of every tribe of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Reuben 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Gad 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Asher 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Naphtali 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Manasseh 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Simeon 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Levi 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Issachar 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Zabulon 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Joseph 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Benjamin 12,000 signed. After this I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and the ancients and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces and adored God, saying, Amen. Benediction and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for the gospel. The gospel is a reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Thus ends the gospel. Please be seated. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, many of the fathers of the church and modern spiritual writers as well say that the New Testament is the summary of the Catholic faith, and that the Sermon of the Mount is the summary of the New Testament, and that the eight Beatitudes are the summary of the Sermon of the Mount. In essence, we could spend the rest of our lives meditating the Beatitudes and always be seeing more in them, able to enter more deeply into them. And it's unfortunate that most of the time when we read them, they're so strange. If we read them with any understanding, they're very strange. Blessed are they that mourn. Well, blessed, we assume, means something pretty good, would make us happy, and mourning is unhappy. How do these two things go together? Well, I guess I'm not holy enough to know that yet, and we just move on. It's a shame, because our Lord is giving us the essence of our religion here. He's not speaking of the commandments. He's not speaking of the precepts of the church. He's not speaking of other guidelines, which are important. We can't let those go. They are important. But we adhere to them because they free us from ourselves and make us free to start to understand deeply what our Lord is speaking of in the Beatitudes. So part of it is I've read a problem of language, of translation, because what we translate as blessed into English doesn't quite convey the proper sense, either of the Greek or what scholars think our Lord said in Aramaic. Who knows? But ultimately, the word that our Lord used was, what we translate as blessed, was a word that conveyed to the people who were there at the Sermon on the Mount an understanding that he was speaking of a man who had a profound joy, a profound happiness that was inside of him and that nothing could take away from him. That's what our Lord means in that word that today we read as blessed. It means a happiness that is ours and that is safe from anything outside of us. It's a strong word, and it's also the word that we apply to the saints in heaven, the blessed in heaven. Well, that's their joy. They have God, and he can't be taken from them. But when we start to understand that our Lord is using this same word to apply to people who are being persecuted, who are mourning, who are poor on this earth, we start to understand that maybe the Beatitudes contain a little bit more than we might have thought. We could easily spend a year meditating on each one. You've got 8 years of meditation material right here. So if you ever wonder, hey, what should I meditate on? This is it. And the first beatitude, he starts immediately. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, poverty in the ancient world was most clearly an evil. There was not any understanding of poverty as anything that could be virtuous, anything that could be good. And our Lord does not shy away from saying, blessed are the poor. But he makes it even more difficult to understand because he says the poor in spirit. It's a very strange combination. How are you poor in spirit? Well, most authors, many authors, and they're correct, they speak of, well, poverty being poor in spirit means we're not attached to material possessions. Well, that's true. It's absolutely true. And it's necessary. We can't be attached to material possessions. But according to the original language, there's an even deeper meaning. What our Lord is saying, blessed is the man who in his spirit, in his soul, feels his poverty. Blessed is the man who in his soul sees that he is a beggar. That man is blessed. And it's true, because ultimately it's not an accident this was the first beatitude that our Lord proposed, and it's not an accident that the church gives us the 8 beatitudes for the gospel reading on All Saints, because ultimately this is the knowledge that is peculiar to the saints, whether we know their names or not. On this Feast of All Saints, we venerate even the saints who went through this world unrecognized, but all of them, at some point in their lives, stood before God with the understanding that of themselves they could do nothing, with the understanding that anything good in them already came from God. It was His anyway. And the only thing that they could ascribe to themselves was malice, was the inclination to always choose the easier thing, the thing that was less good. There's not a saint in heaven who did not have this understanding or this experience at some point in their lives. Because ultimately it's impossible for us to sanctify ourselves until we stand in front of God and acknowledge the fact that I need you. I cannot do this on my own. There have been a couple of spiritual writers who said, if we get to heaven, It will be because of our weakness. And if we get to hell, it will be because of our strengths. Well, that's the spirit of this beatitude. When we focus on our strengths, we tend to ascribe them to ourselves. Intellectually, we might know they're from God. Okay. All good things come from God, you bet. But in the course of our days, our weeks, the course of our lives, we think, I'm a pretty smart fella. I'm a pretty good woman. I'm a great daughter. I'm a fantastic son. It might be true. Maybe. But it's not because of us. It's because God gave us these talents, and He wants them back. They belong to Him. He'll get them back. The question is, do we give them back willingly? So we tend to get very uptight. We tend to get very anxious about our spiritual lives. I have to save my soul. I have to get to heaven. I have to do this devotion. I have to practice that. Our spiritual lives are actually very, very simple. Follow the precepts of the church. Follow the Ten Commandments. Obey your superiors. Avoid the temptations, the occasions, the things that lead you to sin as much as you can. And ask God for His help. Simply admit to Him that you need His help. Without anxiety, in simplicity, in honesty. Just acknowledge that anything good in you comes from Him and ask Him for more. We tend to get so worried about what we're asking. Oh, have I been good enough to earn what I'm asking? Well, let me help you out. No. No, you haven't. None of us have. You haven't. God is perfect. He is omnipotent. He is eternal. He doesn't need any goodness from us. It's already His. So don't worry about that. Worry about freeing yourself from your attachments to sin. Worry about freeing yourself from self-love so that you're free to receive the even greater gifts that God longs to give you, that He's given to the saints who are in heaven right now. That's really our spiritual life. That's it. We think it's so hard, but actually it's, hey, getting rid of ourselves so we can get good things from God. It's not a bad description of the spiritual life. But without anxiety, with peace in our souls, you will not be perfect at all. Remember that sanctity, the other thing in common that all the saints have is they imitated our Lord Jesus Christ. And He was born for His cross. Well, so are we. So are we. The question is, do we pick it up? That's the question. Pick up your cross. It is the thing that makes you feel, if I just didn't have this one thing, I could really be holy. If I just didn't have this one person, this one obstacle, if I just didn't have this one problem to overcome, quit running from that thing. Prudently. Maybe it's not your cross. There are some people who delight in carrying crosses that they should not carry. Don't be one of them. But there is one thing that God means for you to carry, to suffer under. From all eternity, that was the thing that He meant to use to make you a saint. Your cross. It's the thing that will make you feel your poverty of spirit the most. Guaranteed. Every part of you will say, I got to get away from this. I'll do anything to ignore this. That's probably your cross. Pick it up. Pick it up. I can promise you two things. Guaranteed. If you pick up your cross willingly, number one, it will be lighter than you think it is. I can guarantee you that. Once you actually start doing it and stop living in your imagination of how horrible this thing will be, it will be lighter than you think it is. And the second thing I can guarantee you is that you will receive a flood of graces that you're not receiving now. God will always give us the grace that we need to do what He asks. It's the cross that He means to use to sanctify us. Do we really think He won't give us graces to carry our cross? Sanctity should not make you shrink. Sanctity should not make you fear. If it does, you don't understand what sanctity is. Don't fear your cross. Don't fear your weakness. Pick up your cross. Face your weakness. But by God's strength, not your own. You don't have enough. Not to do what God wants. None of us have enough. Trust that God wants you in heaven. He created your soul for heaven. There's no one in this room that God said, "Ooh, this one, I think he's destined for hell, for sure. We're going to send him there. All the good things he's going to do in his life, boof, I don't care." There's not a single person on this planet that God has destined in that way. God already knows whether or not we'll save our souls. That's a different question. But I can promise you, His desire is that we all save our souls. But through the cross, through this science of the saints that our Lord encapsulates so perfectly in this Sermon on the Mount, in the 8 Beatitudes, it's an amazing section of the gospel. If you've never read it, I mean, of course, we've probably all read over it. It's not enough. We have no idea what's in there until we spend time with it, until we apply it to ourselves. It's an amazing blueprint for the spiritual life as our Lord Jesus Christ means for us to live it. And every one of us is capable of it. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. We just need to get out of the way. We just need to quit trying to do things by our own power. We just need to quit trying to tell God what our spiritual life should look like, what we should look like when we're being good, when we're being holy. We don't know, but He does. We should submit to His will. Follow it. What He has in store for us is better than anything we can imagine. I promise you that. And on this Feast of All Saints, it's not an accident that Our Lady has been given by the Church the title of Queen of All Saints. She knows exactly in what sanctity consists. She's the Queen of All Saints. Ask her. Ask her whatever it is that is blocking us from becoming a saint. Or if we are a saint, might be. It'd be the person you least expect, but there might be a few here. If we are a saint, what obstacles do we have to even increasing in our docility to God's grace? She knows. Even more importantly, she can obtain for us the graces we need to overcome them. Trust her. She'll get us what we need. But we have to ask, and we have to really want to change. We have to want to become saints. Grace doesn't just make us automatically good. God doesn't wave His magic wand and say, "Presto, you've got grace, you're a saint now." It just doesn't work that way. We have to want to change. Yes, we have to do our part. We have to do our part. But ultimately, our part is just following what God asks us to do. So much simpler than we think. There's nothing about becoming holy. There's nothing about picking up your cross. That, if you understand the reality of God's plan and the reality of the Catholic faith, should scare you. None of it. None of it. If there's anything that scares you about your religion, there's something you don't understand. If there's anything that you think you're not strong enough to do, there's something you don't understand. Ask Our Lady. She'll show you. Ask her for the graces you need. Ask her for the desire to change, to become holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.